If you run a Shopify store, listen up. Shopify's got you covered for selling, but when your shipping volume grows and you're juggling multiple plugins just to get orders out the door, you need tools that can keep up. Stop duct taping your shipping workflow and use the tools that work better together, like Shopify and ShipStation. Think of ShipStation as Shopify's dedicated shipping partner. ShipStation goes beyond just shipping labels to save you time and money by automating the entire order fulfillment process, from syncing your orders all the way through inventory management and returns. Automate the rate browser to select the lowest rates on shipments, with discounts up to 90% off major carriers like USPS, UPS, and FedEx. No wonder businesses that use ShipStation grow 3 times faster on average and ship 15 times more orders. See how ShipStation can help you scale and boost your Shopify sales. Go to ShipStation.com and access all features free for 30 days. No credit card or contract required. Cancel anytime. That's ShipStation.com.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
And that. I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number 9, let my lies be line. With a death wish, be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Welcome into the show, and we're dirty sock free to begin, so that's an improvement from yesterday. But because of a recent text I got, now I'm questioning whether I'm overreacting, so I'm going to need you, Sean, and maybe anyone who wants to chime in on this can tweet the show at DelV2S, Sean and Mapes. You can certainly call 713-780-3776. Maybe I'm overreacting. Yesterday, if you were watching on Twitch and Twitter, you would have seen a Rockets gift box. They gave it to a lot of media members in the city. There was a jersey, there was a hat, some M&Ms, Rockets branded M&Ms, a lot of things to let you know the playoffs are here. We're back in the playoffs. Get excited about Rockets basketball. It wasn't just traditional media. If you were a prominent Rockets account, you might have got one from extra Twitter. Maybe you have a podcast, you get one too. Okay, the Rockets did a nice thing. They sent us some stuff. Thankful for that. But now, because the social media team will be the social media team, they want us to take a picture, I guess, in the jersey and send it and send a thank you, maybe, or maybe she'll write the thank you note as part of this social media post from the company saying, thanks, Rockets, for the stuff. And for some reason, that bothers me. Why are we creating a post to thank the Rockets for the gift boxes? I feel like the 2 hours yesterday where their jersey was prominently displayed and the box was out there was enough. Do I want to be involved in a social media post where I'm standing in a photo in a Rockets jersey? I'm not a jersey guy. I don't wear them. This isn't a commentary on you if you wear one. It's just not what I do. Maybe I should just, you know, bend the knee, take the photo, and send it to the social team so they can post it. Sean, you have a box of Rocket stuff.
I do have a box.
I just got a funny text from Brian. Goes, I can't send the photo. I didn't get a box.
Yeah, Brian McDonald did not get a box.
So he can't be part of this.
No.
So
now does that affect your thinking that
it's unfair?
Yeah, there's some out there that would love a box. That would love to have a box to take a picture of and be included, but
it doesn't really affect my thinking.
But it can't. He's out there. He had to watch me put on my jersey.
Oh, you put it on yesterday?
Yeah, for Brian mostly.
Just to taunt him?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know how I do.
Understood.
So yeah, I there's those less fortunate that produce 3-6.
The less fortunate of us who didn't get their Rockets branded.
Not only do they have to stay
gift box
late here, they also don't get a personalized jersey. Do you know how hard a number 25 McDonald on the back would go?
Man. As hard as a number 25 Olalea or Mapes? Or maybe even harder. Who knows?
Probably not as hard as
a Mapes one, yeah. Of course. What am I saying?
The only one that's game worn. for one segment of radio.
You may have been the only one to put on the jersey so far. I know I've seen Jeremy Branham on Instagram have a post. I don't think he wore the jersey.
I still had the tag on.
Yeah. So new. The tag was on it.
Yeah.
So you have put on the jersey. Have you taken your photo yet?
Yeah, after the show, Paul and I took one together.
Oh, someone told me to bend the knee is not that big of a deal. It's really the principle that I'm being asked to take a photo. For what?
I feel like that's most of your hang-ups with really anything social media related, is the fact that you're being told to do.
Yeah, if it was my own original thought, which it never would be, I wouldn't be so against it. But hey, could you do this for us? What's the reasoning? To thank the Rockets? Is that what this is about?
Or it's
engagement?
What
are we doing here?
A little bit of like, they just need to catch you doing it naturally, you know? They can just pull something from yesterday's show.
Maybe when why not? There's actually me on the air with the jersey laid out and the gift box. Why not just grab it from that? That's my thank you.
You gotta put the dog medicine in the peanut butter sometimes, you know?
Am I a golden retriever or beagle in this case? I don't know. It is the principle of it all. I don't know if the Rockets want our thanks, but I guess they're about to get it.
I mean, I think they want the social media post.
I'm sure. But not the fact that if you go to our YouTube channel or Twitch or Twitter, you could have seen the
we gotta do it for the gram,
display.
Dude.
Okay.
It's all about the gram.
It's ridiculous. Now there's a running commentary from someone who's saying I should do it. They're not giving me really any real reasons, just that I should bend the knee. That's not enough. I'm not a knee bender. It happened. I saw it happen to Ned Stark when he bent his knee.
Yeah, yeah.
Head got lopped off.
Should one of us give it to Brian, and Brian will just hold up an Olay jersey?
Does Brian want a customized vanity jersey that isn't even his? And he wants to hold that up?
Yeah, he's a big fan of your work, I bet.
Well, he does use a clip or two for Who Said It, but that's just, he grabs clips from everybody. Doesn't mean he's a fan. You stop using Riley, not you, the same running commentary. Stop using Riley and Spo as a way to make, if Riley and Spo said you want. No, I actually wouldn't do it. That's my whole point. It's not a Rockets thing.
Yeah.
I don't vibe with the social media aspect of it all. But thank you. I'll say it now. This isn't better. More people will hear it than see what the post, unless the post goes viral. Thank you, Rockets. I appreciate the gift. I think we all do. It was very nice for you to do as they get ready for their first playoff series in years.
Okay.
Just grab that.
I'll clip that.
Clip that. Send it to Sam. That should be enough, right?
Yeah.
A nice audio message thanking the Rockets. And more importantly, the Rockets playoffs begin on Sunday. We know.
More importantly?
Than that social media post, yes.
A little bit more.
Yes, important. I think it's more important than the social media post. With the Warriors coming to town. We'll hear from Ime Udoka a little bit later. He discussed a couple things, including some possible tweaks to the lineup. And it's more about who will guard who as opposed to someone coming in or leaving the starting lineup.
We also got a T-shirt. Do you want to
put that on?
Or put a dress shirt on and then put the T-shirt on over it, Rusty Harden style?
I would only do that if I knew Rusty would see it.
Well, I'm sure we can tag him.
If I to honor him, since he's been a like the third part of the show for a good bit this week. I would do that if I knew Rusty would get a kick out of it, just because.
He'd probably be like, what
the F is this? What do you mean?
Thanks, I guess. Must have loved my defense of Deshaun Watson.
Did it go well? I mean, he's not in jail, but he was never really in danger of going to jail.
Super poorly.
Well, he had to pay out, so we just don't know how much, which I guess is good enough. And you know what? He was free to go get a big deal, and that's gone well for the Browns, right?
It's gone well for Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, he can dance, he can get engaged. I think he's engaged. And he can cash in on $230 million or whatever it is.
Doesn't even really have to rehab his Achilles.
But he is taking note of the people who are questioning him. I saw that a couple weeks ago. We didn't bring it to the show, but he's taking note.
Oh, okay.
He realizes people are questioning him, and he'll be ready. Not this season, but likely in 2026 he'll be ready to call out all the haters with his play.
I don't think anyone's questioning him.
No, the haters.
No, I think it's like all pretty. No one. It's not a question. We have the answer. Like, people are just like, he stinks now. Like, it's not a question.
Okay.
It's not, can he do it? It's
well,
guy's done.
Fine. I will change the way I phrase it.
The doubters. The haters.
The doubters. The haters.
There are many.
The believers who think he's incapable of getting back to what he was when he was a Texan. And there's plenty of evidence to suggest those haters, doubters, non-believers are correct. We'll probably, I guess the question is, will Deshaun be back before Tank Dell? What do you think is more likely? Tank Dell comes back as a productive NFL wide receiver, or Deshaun Watson comes back as a productive NFL quarterback?
I mean, Tank Dell by far.
Yeah, because when Tank is healthy, he plays, but that was a devastating injury. And we played the sound earlier in the year with Cecil Short saying, who was a former Texan for a little bit, and he said, I was never the same. Like, 4 years later, I was cleared. After my career was over, I was cleared to do football-type stuff.
Yeah, and I could see they both come back in 26, but Tank still needs like 4 weeks or something. You know, he starts on IR.
Yeah.
But as far as like who will have a like good year after, even taking in, like he'll never be the same, still give me Tank Dell. Just A, it's easier to be a wide receiver than it is a quarterback. And the last time we saw Tank Dell, he was catching a touchdown pass.
Yes.
Last time we saw Deshaun Watson, it was sad.
Yeah. The football play was sad, the on-field stuff. And then
the
on-field
product was sad.
I wasn't particularly upset about how poorly he was playing, but if you were just ranking quarterback play, it was pretty sad.
I'd put a frowny emoji on it,
yeah. If we were 14 how we judge quarterbacks.
I'm sure this is what, like, SI Kids does now. It would just be like a...
Lamar Jackson? Smiley face.
Sunglasses.
Yeah, he has worn those on the sidelines at night in the game.
Exactly, that's the picture he used.
And Deshaun, frowny face. that's been his time.
CJ Stroud, the one where the mouth is kind of slanted.
Yeah, I mean, we thought it was going to go
mixed.
Well, and
mixed
then
feelings.
2024 wasn't so great, but they got the bad guy out of here.
They did.
Slowick's out. Kaylee's in. We should be fine. And we'll hear from the guy who was part of that decision making. Making those hirings and firings. Nick Caserio, he spoke a week before the draft. Actually, today is a week before the draft, but he did like his pre-draft presser yesterday. So we'll hear from him as we can play a game of, did he actually say anything? It's the tried and true Nick Caserio press conference agenda. Say stuff without actually saying stuff. So we'll play that game. We'll also do another edition of our Tucker Trade Tracker. It was feeling pretty good before this week started. Before the Astros hit the road.
Yeah, we should have really done it on Monday.
Yeah, because your thought that the Cubs got fleeced, that was a good thought.
I had more wind in my sails.
Things have changed since.
Yeah.
Because Paredes on the road is a disaster, as still hitless in St. Louis. He's not great on the road. That's just what we know. He's certainly not going to hit for power on the road, at least when he's an Astro so far. So we'll get to that. We're just getting started here. If you want to call in about anything, you can. I think we're going to have Raheel today. I'm not sure. He has not texted me yet, so maybe Raheel's busy. But he is the host of CityCast. You can find that wherever you listen to podcasts, and maybe he'll tell you about what's going on in the great city of Houston. So you can call in 713-780-3776. We will be back.
Houston's independent voice for sports talk.
Kane is in the building.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Welcome back to the show. My excitement is filtered over to Sean. He's going to watch center tonight. Ryan Coogler joint with Michael B. Jordan.
7 p.m. IMAX.
The reviews are still saying you should see it, everybody. I don't know if it's
at 100%.
Well, yeah, you can watch it
all
yourself,
right,
and
Coogler.
See.
Big Ryan Coogler. What has he ever done?
Have you ever heard of that thing called Black Panther?
The what?
Exactly. Killmongers and Sinners. Does that get you going?
Oh.
There it is.
You mean Adonis Creed, yeah.
No. He did do Creed as well. That's what Ryan Coogler does. he and Michael B. Jordan team up, and this could be the next Scorsese and De Niro. That's what people are saying. This movie is going to elevate those two too, where they are, where the director actor combo that kind of sets the standard for the next 20 years of movie making. We will see. Who knew a vampire movie could reach that type of prestige? We're about to find out. Sean, tonight I might go as well. We'll see about that. Okay. I love a matinee movie. We had a matinee baseball game yesterday that didn't go well. It felt like it was off to a good start. The Astros manufactured a run. Altuve and Pena very aggressive on the bases early. Sean, did you know that Jeremy Pena is in the middle of a hitting streak? His batting average wouldn't tell you that.
I mean, you can go 1-for-4 every game.
Exactly, and that's kind of what's going on. And maybe sometimes when he gets 5 at-bats, a little less, maybe it's 1-for-5, considering where he's at. But Jeremy Pena, he's got a long hitting streak going, and that continued in the first inning yesterday as the Astros put across the run. Christian Walker had a chance with a runner on third to push another run across. He struck out in the pitch he didn't like very much. But if we're going by what the box said on television, it was a strike. And that was the last run the Astros scored. Renel Blanco, he was out there, and we're not getting the Blanco we got last year. That feels like maybe in a sport where we don't like to jump to conclusions, maybe we can jump to that conclusion, because Renel Blanco has not matched his start to last season. The Astros go down 4-1, so the bats were very silent after that first inning. And Blanco, he wasn't terrible. 5 innings, 3 runs. If the team could hit, that might have been enough. But this team doesn't push runs across. Very few crooked innings, and that continued yesterday. So they lose the series to the Cardinals. They're now 8-10, and the chances of winning 2 in a row snuffed out. It's just who they are. We can't even talk about putting a streak together, because I barely consider 2 in a row a streak. I just say it's 2 in a row. They can't get to 2 in a row, so they're going to have to begin again. But it's them. I don't even know. Last time we talked about this, it was some last place teams. I haven't looked in on what the Rockies and Orioles have done since, and the Braves, if any of them are in the middle of a 2-game winning streak, if you want to call it that. But the Astros remain one of those teams who can't put anything together, let alone a winning streak. It's just been a rough, boring watch so far. And anytime a team gets more than one run in an inning, you feel like the team's in trouble. Yeah, the Rockies are in the middle of a 6-game losing streak, so we'll say no to them.
And Atlanta's in the middle of a 2-game losing streak.
So, no as well. And the Orioles have
one game winning streak.
So, no. No team that we mentioned early in the week, including the Astros, has broken that trend of not being able to win 2 games in a row. So, 8-10 for the Astros.
I think the Astros will do it, though.
I think they'll get there at some point.
They have
144 more games to go, something like that.
I think they can do it. I think
they're capable of that.
They haven't.
It's tied for last place. Not that matters. The only thing that really is interesting about the standings right now is that the AL West is full of teams with a negative run differential. The Rangers have a minus 13. So do the A's, and the Rangers are 11-7. The A's are 8-10. You can kind of figure that out. The Rangers have probably won plenty of close ball games and got blown out a couple times. And that's why the differential is as high as it is, while they are 4 games above 500. So very early, but a disappointing end to the Cardinals series, where that's not a good baseball team. You had a chance to take 2 out of 3, even with the Renel Blanco, let's say, average start. Your bats just weren't up to it, and that has kind of been the case all year long. And whether these numbers are sobering or not, you can be the judge, but these are just the facts as far as the Astros and hitting. Through 18 games, this is from Brian McTaggart. He tweeted it out. Their slash line right now is .216, .300, and .317 with an OPS of .618. None of those numbers are good. If you're not a baseball person, me and you are the same. They're not good. They scored 3 or fewer runs in all but 5 games. And some of the guys you expected to be productive so far, Christian Walker, mentioned him striking out early in the game. He's had 2 extra base hits. He's hitting under .160. Yiner, .130 with 3 extra base hits. And Cam Smith, who you take what you get from Cam Smith, considering he's a rookie and a surprise. 2 extra base hits, hitting .200. It's been poor. and it continues to be that way. And you comfort yourself with this because it's the numbers that continue to get thrown out there because of how slow the Astros start. It's right in line with what they've always been over the last 5 or 6 years. They're a slow starting baseball club, and it has not mattered. Does this one feel different? I'm not sure. Maybe if I thought about, well, Bregman always starts slow as an Astro. Now got to throw in that caveat because as a Red Sox, he seems to be just fine. He'll get it together, and they've had injuries to the pitching staff early in seasons in the past, and they've been able to overcome it. This one, the reinforcements are guys who get injured all the time because now you're not banking on a Ronel Blanco to hopefully surprise, and then you get Hunter Brown after he found a sinker becoming the pitcher he has become. Now you're hoping that guys like Lance McCullers, who have been hurt for a long time, and Luis Garcia, who we really don't have a timetable about when he's coming back, are your saviors, as opposed to healthy guys. Surprising. Different vibes. I think a lot of people, at least if I go by what I'm reading in spaces, feel a little differently about this club, but they got 144 games to change your mind. Is this a 91 team? Do we get to 90? Because I just set 90 as, okay, they win 90.
Like, yeah.
They win 90.
That's win a bad division.
Yeah, they win 90. They're winning the division. Do they win 90 games this year? I don't think
I mean, they would have to win at least back-to-back games.
Yes.
A couple times.
Yes, and maybe even get to a five-game winning streak. Maybe four. A couple of those.
No. I mean, they can get a couple twos. They stack a few twos up. They can crawl above 500 and then, what, nine games over by the end of the season. That is funny that when you say 90 wins, you're like, wow. And it's like, well, nine wins over 500. Like,
it's not that big.
It's not like a crazy high bar to have.
Well, you would actually be more, right? How the math works.
Well, I'm just doing 81 plus 9.
Understood. Yeah, but it would turn out to be, you'd obviously be, what, 90 and 72 or something like that?
Yeah,
but understood. When you do it in your head, it's like, oh, you just happen to win nine more games. Than
I mean, actually, you go 500 plus 9.
Yeah, you win nine more games than a 500 team would have won. Does that sound that impressive? Turns out in baseball, it's pretty impressive. Does it make you a title contender? Not the way they're built currently, but hey. They got time to figure it out. So does the front office. I do see people going, man, Jim Crane and Jeff Bagwell ruined this franchise. I don't know if it's ruined. At some point, you're not going to be the best team in baseball. It just happens. The cycle.
Yeah, someone ruins it.
Well,
that's when it happens.
Okay. But the fact that they've been great for so long is actually the outlier, unless you're the Dodgers, you have ungodly money to spend. But if you are even the Yankees can't spend enough to be as good as the Astros have been. At some point, you're not going to be good. I know when you're in it, you don't think about that. You're like, it's going to go on forever. But no, at some point, the cycle will flip, and you won't be good for a little bit. Is this a premature entry into that? But it's kind of the way things go. Well, if you're not going to pay homegrown guys, it's sort of like the model of NFL where now you're depending on guys who aren't yours. It's a little different because it's kind of an individual sport when you're talking hitters and pitchers. You don't need teamwork per se.
Yeah, it doesn't need to mesh.
Yeah, if you're a good hitter, you're a good hitter. But you think about how it goes in the NFL when you lose homegrown talent and you have to bring in guys who have played in other spots. The meshing is more difficult, as I just said, it's a little different. But now you're bringing in Paredes and Christian Walker instead of having Kyle Tucker and Alex Bregman. At some point, it was going to flip in the other direction. I know some people thought this dynasty would last an eternity.
Yeah.
Some people, it's you.
The sun never sets on the Astros dynasty.
It sets on every dynasty.
Wow.
Sets on every civilization. Shout out to Rome. It sets on them all. No. But is this the end? Are we in the... Hey, let's sign the Carlos Lee era of Astros baseball.
I mean, Jose Abreu and Christian Walker aren't that.
I didn't want to seriously paint Christian Walker with the Jose Abreu brush. I make jokes in that fashion.
Then let's paint him with the Carlos Lee brush.
Yes, Carlos Lee was productive.
He was pretty good.
Just not
for like 2 years.
But year not in moments that mattered. Carlos Lee wanted to hit a home run when they're down 8-4. He would do it. But if it's a 6-4 game with two men on, probably not going to hit that home run. I would just like Christian Walker hit the ball in the outfield and find a soft spot for it to land. I told you about that exit velo crap. Yeah. Now look at us.
Just find grass.
Hit them where they ain't, Christian. That's a start.
Choke up on the bat.
Lay down a butt. I don't know. Get on base. Work a walk, man. He tried to yesterday, and he struck out on a pitch he didn't like, as I talked about. Okay, so the Astros go down. So be it.
Whatever,
man.
It's playoff time.
It's play-in time.
Yeah.
With the playoffs to follow shortly
Astros,
afterwards.
Astros don't know anything about the playoffs. This Astros team.
Last year, they
were in the play-in. They're in the glorified baseball
last
play-in.
Year's Astros team were the Bulls and the Kings combined. And we may have two 10 seeds make the playoffs. That has never happened before in the play-in era. We'll talk about the games last night, mostly because we mentioned Klay Thompson being awful in his last play-in game. Well, it was his last game as a Warrior, and it was his last play-in game last year where he didn't get booed, but he might as well should have been if he was at home. He happened to be on the road. He went 0-10 or 0-11 last year. Didn't score a point against the Kings. He fixed that last night for the Mavs, and then the Heat went into Chicago and beat up on the Bulls. So we'll talk about some basketball, some playing basketball, and then we'll also hear from Ime Udoka as his Rockets prepare for the real playoffs with the Warriors coming to town on Sunday. So we'll get to that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Ime Udoka spoke to local media yesterday. Rockets getting ready for the Warriors. We'll hear from Draymond. He has been complimentary of some Rockets in the past. Like, he likes Tari Eason, despite Tari Eason doing the Warriors come out to play thing. As they were getting ready for a potential game that would decide who would make the play-in. Think of that. We're just over a year removed from that conversation. Like, man, the Rockets are fighting. Do you think they could beat the Warriors and make it this a real run down the stretch to make the play-in? Now the Warriors are in the play-in, and the Rockets are welcoming them in as the 2 seed. So big-time turnaround for the Rockets. Just in a different stratosphere when it comes to not only success, but attention. Warriors Rockets on Sunday. And they feel like they have a clear 8 when you include their starters, and you can throw Tari, Steven Adams in, and Jabari. And maybe there's a guy like Aaron Holiday who might get 8 to 12 minutes. Does Reed Shepard get times, Cam Whitmore? Those are guys who are in the range of, if someone's in foul trouble, maybe they'll play. That's kind of how those guys sit with the Rockets rotations. About 8 guys, and then maybe a 9th, depending on circumstance.
Cam Whitmore and Reed, and 25-point game. I think they need it to be a blowout. That's the only time they come in.
I think foul trouble might dictate, or maybe it's an Aaron Holiday thing if there's foul trouble.
I guess what I'm thinking is that Fred VanVleet and Jalen Green, and just pick a Rocket starter, is going to play like 38 to 42 minutes.
Oh, I think
minutes.
It's going to be Tibbs-like with the minutes.
Yeah, and so there's just like not 8 minutes for Aaron Holiday to play, really.
Well, I think those minutes come if someone's in foul trouble. I'm not saying he's getting 8 minutes, period. I just think if someone has to sit, picks up 2 early fouls or a third in the first half, he may get minutes that way. But maybe a defensive replacement, but I don't think it's going to be a thing. I think we're seeing even the bench guys, 5, 6 through 8, they're playing 25 minutes. Steven Adams will get 15 to 20, depending on what the lineups suggest.
But yeah, I think Jabari
and Tari in that 25 to 30
range.
Yeah,
and then just Steven Adams a little bit less.
15 to 20.
And then, like, again.
Here or there.
Depends on foul trouble.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a solid eight. Or circumstances that aren't beneficial to the Rockets lead to someone else having to play.
Yeah.
Look, Julian's back. So we'll get to him, then we'll hear from Ime Udoka on what lineup tweaks might be in store. What's up, Julian?
Morning, gentlemen. I think you guys can win this if Jalen Green, a.k.a. Super Saiyan Simp, has a good series. If he's consistent, I think you guys go as he go. I think you guys go as far as he can go. I know that sounds silly, but he's the best player on your team that isn't consistent. I mean, if the guy can be what he does whenever he's at his peak, he's a top, what, 7-5 scorer in the league? My thing is, he doesn't affect the game in any other way other than scoring, unless you guys see something that I don't. I mean, if I'm wrong, that's cool. And then the second thing, let's go to entertainment. Did you watch The Residence?
I've not gotten to that yet. It's not high on the list of things when I just got a lot to watch, man. There's a lot. April's a busy month. The Resident might be something that I pop on in the summer when there's a little less going on. You think it was silly to
say? What about?
Go ahead.
What about Mobland?
I'm up on
Mobland. What about Mobland?
I'm up on Mobland. I'm watching every episode as it comes out. Tom Hardy is one of those actors I'm always interested in what he's doing, except for Venom. Don't care. That's Sean's thing. Sorry. But anything else he's in when he's not co-acting with the symbiote, I'm in on. So I will watch Mobland, and I hope at some point Taboo is supposed to come back, a show that's his that came out like in 2018 or something. That show.
Are you serious? I thought that was over with. I thought I hadn't heard anything about it in so long. I like Taboo. I thought he was a goon.
Yeah, I mean, it's still something that he's trying to get to a season two. It's not completely dead yet. So I wouldn't guarantee that it's coming back, but they are still working on Taboo season two. So be ready. Yeah. Like, it's like,
all right.
Be ready in like 3 years. I don't know, but it's still alive.
All right, gentlemen, have a good one.
All right, appreciate it, Julian. He thought it was silly to suggest that Jalen Green being consistent was the way the Rockets went. Not when he called him Super Saiyan. Was the last word simp?
That's what I heard.
Yeah, when he called him Triple S. That wasn't the silliest part of that Jalen Green talk. I don't know. I think simp is aggressive. Isn't he in a committed relationship and has a child with that woman? I don't think that makes you a simp. Right? Right.
I think that's right.
Yeah, I don't think it makes you a simp.
I mean,
I think since you're actually with the woman.
I haven't seen any
evidence.
Yeah, simp-like activities. So
yeah, I don't know.
I'm not going to throw that at him. As far as like the basketball stuff, again, ridiculous basketball stuff they talk about. No, not ridiculous. I think he's mostly right that the glimpses, the peaks of the Jalen Green experience, like he would be the best player on the Rockets if you could do that semi-regularly.
He'd be an MVP candidate when
he's
at his
peak. I mean, I'm not even saying like actually do the 30 points a night thing, just like do that two out of every three nights instead of one out of every four. But he just hasn't really done that yet. I think that's kind of the secret sauce for the Rockets. And this one is just Jalen Green against Pods and Steph Curry. There's not really a tough matchup out there for him offensively. I guess Gary Payton II, but if the Warriors are playing Gary Payton II on defense, they have to play him on offense too, which will help the Rockets. I don't know how much you can count on Şengün in this series. Just like what Şengün is going to have to do is post up Draymond Green and
avoid the trickery. Don't get called for an offensive foul because
don't let him get under your skin.
Yeah, all the things.
And then even if you do all that, then you also have to back down Draymond Green and score on him.
Yeah, the actual player himself you have to beat, that guy.
And so that's where I just don't know what we're going to be, how much we're going to be getting from Şengün in this series when it comes to, I mean, on both sides of the court, honestly, but especially on offense.
I was listening to you, but I was also reading up on Taboo.
Oh, okay.
And he does associate the delay on working on Venom, which makes me hate Venom even more. Even more. Tom Hardy says, I've been busy.
Did he make three Venom movies in between these the seasons
yes,
of
he says
shows?
He's been yes, it hasn't been on for like 8 years now. It came out in 2017. Of course, the production probably started in like 16 for that show. He was like, yeah, I've been on Venom for 7 years. I've been busy. So he hasn't been able to. But Julian, in a recent interview promoting the show you brought up, Mobland, Tom Hardy tells the interviewer that they are writing season two of Taboo right now. So it is being worked on, and now that it appears there are no more Venom movies to get in the way, we might get another season of Taboo.
I'm happy for you guys.
Thank you.
I think we both got to eat on this one.
No.
I got three.
Yeah, but I'm starving.
Three Venom
You're
movies.
Full.
You got a season
I'm
of
I'm emaciated
Taboo.
When it comes to Taboo. You're
I
full.
I mean, you got, what, 6-7 hours of content? I only have to, I have to got, scrape by with, like, six? No, because the second movie is, like, 80 minutes long. The second movie is ridiculously short.
80 minutes too long.
Man, that's messed up.
I'm sorry.
The White Lotus finale was longer than the Venom.
Rightfully so.
What did the Venom movie?
Rightfully so. But hey, it appears that Venom is pushed aside. And
it was the last dance.
We'll get to more. Yeah, of course. We'll see about that. There's another bag for Tom Hardy. I don't think he'd be against it. But get to Taboo first. You can come back with Venom in like 2031 or something.
Well, I mean, he has to be in Secret Wars.
Yeah, he has to be. Can it be just the symbiote and the voice? We never see Eddie. Can we do that instead so he can do other stuff?
Just AI him.
Yeah, AI.
AI him.
Yeah, an ADR, your voice, later. You don't even have to be on set, Tom. Do Mobland Season 2 and get to Taboo. There it is. That's my plan. I'm not your agent, but I got a plan for you. Okay. We'll hear from E-May when we come back. We were talking about, Albert Shingun and whether he'd be effective or not and how he needs to avoid.
Yeah, I think it's a Jalen Green series, not a Shingun
series.
Yeah,
the tricks of Draymond. Well, while the starting lineup likely won't be changed, there may be some tweaks about who's guarding who because of the effects that have happened since the lineup change when it comes to rebounding. So we'll hear from Ime. You're going to hear a lot of basketballs being bounced because it's right after practice. So we'll do that. And we'll also play the sound from Draymond Green. Because he had some not-so-nice words for Dylan Brooks. Now, this is years ago, back when Dylan Brooks was with Memphis and his reputation was in the trash. So, really, Draymond was just piling on. It's been a resurgence for Dylan Brooks. But we'll hear some of their history when we come back.
ESPN. 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
Okay, we'll do this quick. We're getting close to the end of the first hour. I don't think we're going to hear from Raheel. He normally texts me. Go, hey, let's talk about this. Have not heard from him. So that's why I said last week, maybe we'll talk to Raheel again next week. It's just how it goes. I'm sure he's busy. Putting together another edition of CityCast. So, Ime Udoka spoke after practice. You'll hear the bouncing balls. He was asked about some things that have happened since they've gone exclusively with Amen in the starting lineup. Now that they're fully healthy and they have their set starting lineup, you've seen some regression in some places and some positives in others. Here's Ime Udoka on that and maybe if tweaks will be coming.
Yeah, it's been really the rebounding thing. Moving guys around to certain positions has hurt our rebounding, but we've also defended certain players very well with those lineups. And so we looked at and you can tweak some things and put different players on different players. Obviously, I'm in guarding guards and being away from the basket has hurt us on out ball has hurt us on. And so you can take away a few things, but it hurts you in certain areas. And so that'll be something to look at specifically matchup-wise with him.
Yeah, so if you're hiding Fred Van Fleet on a non-scorer because you want Amen taking their best score, and if that score is a wing or a guard, he's not going to be close enough to cause all that havoc on the defensive boards, grabbing them, slapping balls away from guys who think they have offensive rebounds, all the things he does that go beyond just a regular old demon, as Sean said earlier this week.
Yeah, the league messed up.
Yeah, the league messed up letting the Rockets get that demon. And then they did it again by letting the Detroit. Pistons get the other demon, except Detroit was next, so the league had nothing to do with it after four. But he will, if they mimic what they did against the Warriors in their last game, he will be on Steph Curry chasing him around screens, and Steph generally isn't around the rim. So Amen generally won't be around the rim to clean up the offensive boards. You'll have to depend more on Fred VanVleet if he's hiding on Moody to be more of a guy who's a help with the gang ring bounding. It's the give and take of all that.
Or do you want Fred chasing around Steph?
I don't.
Okay.
I don't. Maybe in 2019. Maybe.
He is a guy that has like experience. I don't think that there's like obviously you'd prefer Amin and even like Dylan Brooks, although he's probably going to be on Butler. But there's not like a obvious like, oh my God, we cannot let this guy guard Steph Curry. Even like Jalen Green, like I don't love him like having to chase him around screens. But if it's like a isolation scenario, like I can live with Jalen Green trying to stay in front of Steph Curry.
But Steph's maybe the toughest shot maker in the history of basketball. So staying in front of him,
that's why I'm like, sure, Fred VanVleet, why not?
Yeah,
just to like what Ime is saying, to let Amin cause havoc other places.
Maybe be a roamer more than anything else.
Exactly.
I'm not that concerned about Steph blowing by guys because
no,
it's not even really, not it's not really his goal. It's just that his ball handling, his ability to get you in there because you're so over aggressive, because you know if he gets a clean look, he's likely to knock it down. There are a lot of things, and we've seen him for over a decade now do what he's done and done a lot of against the Rockets. So I think you'll see a lot of guys on him, but if they go all in on the face guarding stuff, the length of Amin, the physicality will be something we'll see quite a bit. We just assume what we saw in that game a couple Sundays ago is going to happen again. The Warriors, we had imagined, will have ways to get him free. We played the sound earlier this week of Steve Kerr talking about how Steph is being defended. It would be, now people question Steve Kerr as a coach because they just think, hey, you just roll up the ball and you let all these Hall of Famers go to work, particularly when they're in their prime. But you would think that coaching staff would find a way to not allow what happened in that game to happen throughout the series. Or maybe the haters are right on Steve Kerr, because if you can't adapt, and I get it, Amen will be Amen, but you would think Steve Kerr and the Warriors have seen every coverage you could imagine except when a demon's out there. So maybe they'll find a way to shake Steph free and get him away from Amen. But yeah, that's to be seen.
Yeah, I think that no matter what happens, there'll be several different guys that get a shot. And
I think
it's going to be something where both coaches I trust to make adjustments here. I don't think that how they defend each other and what offense they run in game one will be the same as it is the last game of the series for either team, really. I think both teams are going to be forced to do stuff that they don't want to do or don't normally do. That's why, like, Ime talking about possible starting lineup change, like, that does not surprise me at all. Watching this team throughout the season, how Ime Udoka coaches this team, like, he'll bench a guy. He's not afraid to move stuff around for what he thinks is best. And then if they win this series, the next series, it might be something not completely different, but he'll adjust to that series too.
And you can see it after game one. That's how quickly this stuff happens in the playoffs, where in a regular season, you'll give it a little runway to see if it works. And what happened in one game doesn't necessarily translate to another. But if you get picked apart by something the Warriors do, and it's vice versa, Kuminga, who had not played in these last two games, the one against the Clippers and now against the Grizzlies, Kuminga may have a place for the Warriors in this series. There's some concerns, at least from the inside of that organization, about him as a player, although they've held on to him forever. They never want to get rid of him, but there's some questions about where they think his fit is going forward. But in a game or in a series where there are a lot of big athletic wings, the Warriors are deficient unless they put him on the floor. So that's just one thing we might see from the Warriors. And, of course, maybe Jabari's small ball five more than we've seen because the Warriors play very small and they take advantage of Alperen. These are why these series are pretty fun. You get to see the back and forth. Of course, if you're in it and you're watching your team lose, it's less fun because it's the anxiety of it all. But I'm excited to watch this team play and see if they have answers for what the Warriors provide and see if the Warriors have none for what the Rockets do, because the Rockets are always going to be big and physical. The Warriors only can be that so much. They just don't have the guys for it.
And going, you know, just a quick thing on them being so big and physical. The schedule for the series came out, I think it came out like immediately after
they beat the Grizz
playing game. But it is Sunday, Wednesday, and I think like Saturday for the first three games.
Yeah.
And then game 4, 5, 6, 7,
every other
if necessary,
day.
Is every other day. So I think that's something that, A, is going to be very frustrating for like us, that they'll play three times in a week. And then the pace will speed up a little bit more. But I also think that's something that will benefit the Rockets, just being the younger team who didn't have to play a overtime game in game 82 and then a play-in game and then this series.
Yeah, I think the Warriors had an elimination game on Tuesday. If they don't win that, what I mean by that, if they have to play a game to decide they make the 8 seed, first of all, they're not beating OKC. And secondly, I think if they're playing that game on Friday, wrap it up. They're not winning. They're not competing against the OKC Thunder in the series if they had to play two games.
That many games.
And then play on a Sunday, not a day, but with a day off in between. Yeah. That series is over before it begins. So that they had to win, and it took everything. Jimmy and Steph had to play great for them to win, which I think maybe helps the Rockets. I'm not sure there's a lot of juice with those Warriors outside of those two. But, of course, if you have two great players and they play that way, they're always going to be a little bit of a threat. Okay, we'll do the Draymond Green stuff on Dylan Brooks a little bit later, because it doesn't look like we're going to have Raheel, so we got a little bit more time. We'll come back with some Caserio stuff. Caserio spoke to the media about the Texans' plans, and we'll play the game. Did he actually say anything? Sean, you'll be the judge. I've heard some of this stuff already, so I already have my opinions. Sean, we'll play some stuff from Caserio about picking at 25 and maybe a change. It was a good question from Landry Locker. He asked him about maybe changing the evaluation of how you do the offensive line stuff, considering you've invested contracts and picks and things have not worked out. Will you change some things? We'll see what Caserio says in the second hour when we come back.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling, and for the shoppers buying, simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going... So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell wherever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Businesses that sell more sell on Shopify. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/audioboom, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/audioboom to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/audioboom.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.